I suspect it won't be here next week.
Feeling the inspiration.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I wondered what you meant there, Mark.
Oh, dear. I was just thinking about, you know, the ongoing situation and staying positive. And maybe before we start, it would just be worth having a little reflection on how we stay positive. You know, those of us that are married and have got friends close by, you know, I think we're grateful for one another, aren't we? And that opportunity to encourage each other. And certainly with Ali and I think there's times where I'm feeling great and she's feeling down. And then the next day it's the exact opposite. And we somehow managed to sustain one another through that. And I'm really mindful. In fact, there was a verse from Proverbs that came to mind this morning, which was Proverbs 3 verse 3. It says, be kind to one another. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. And I just thought that was really profound. Like loyalty and kindness, never let them leave you. And you know, that's my encouragement to all of us at the moment, is that loyalty and kindness are so important. And to those that are alone, those that are widowed, you know, those that are, you know, don't have that immediacy of companionship, I also just really felt really strongly that, you know, the story of Ruth and Boaz was really a really powerful one for you, that you know, there is that sense of loyalty, particularly with Ruth initially, but also Boaz when he meets her. And there's that word, which is kinsman redeemer, that talks about Boaz, and that he says that he is Ruth's kinsman redeemer. But also more profoundly than that, God is your kinsman redeemer. He is the one who redeems. He's the one that carries you and is caring for you. And the amazing thing is, out of Ruth's story, is that Jesus ends up being in her line, you know, her genealogy. And the fact that, you know, when God is our kinsman redeemer, that the kingdom of heaven comes out of that relationship and out of that, out of his guidance and care for us. So I just want to encourage you as well in that. So as we begin, let's just take a moment to pray, to welcome God, and to be confident that he is with us and that he is for us. So, Lord God, we just rejoice in today, Lord. We thank you for a new day, Lord. We thank you that today is a day that you have made. And as we look out and see the blue sky, Lord, we have hope in what you're going to do in our lives today, Lord. And we bless you. We thank you that you are for us. And if you're for us, who can be against us, Lord? And I just want to pray your blessing on each one of us, Lord, particularly those that are alone, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them as their kinsman redeemer, as their shelter and their rock today, Lord. May we know your blessings today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I believe there's a few birthdays today, probably more than usual, actually. So I think we have Fiona, we have John, and we have
Katie Ellis.
Is Katie with us? Yeah.
James Gardner in 2 days.
David Miller in a few days' time. So we need to give a bit of a big happy birthday song, I think.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Over to you, Lou.
Oh, okay.
Good morning, everyone. It's so good to worship with you today. I wondered if a lot of our songs today seem to be about really calling on God, calling on Him to help to enable us to overcome, calling on His name, clinging to Him. And I don't know if you got the email requesting that some people you might like to bring a drum with you. Now, I'm aware that with the power of Zoom, we won't hear all of your drums, but feel free to make as much noise as you want to. If that's useful to you in kind of crying out to the Lord, it's like a battle cry today. In this first song, you might like to join in. Our drummers are going to lead with the rhythm that goes...
We're not drummers.
Hallelujah. 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 Yeah, that's great. Thank you, drummers. And then in the last one that we're going to do in this set, it's a new song. I think it's quite easy to pick up, and we're just going to use the rhythm, come Lord Jesus, come Lord Jesus. So I'm sure you'll pick up on that. If that's for you today, feel free to join in. But I just wanted to start by reading a little bit of Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Let all that I am praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God with my dying breath. Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. When they breathe their last, they return to the earth and all their plans die with them. But joyful are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He made heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He keeps every promise forever. He gives justice to the oppressed, food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are weighed down. The Lord loves the godly. The Lord protects the foreigners among us. He cares for the orphans and the widows, but he frustrates the plans of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. He will be your God, O Jerusalem, throughout the generations. Praise the Lord. And we're going to do that now. We're going to start with raise a hallelujah. We're going to praise this almighty God who cares about the details.
Thank you.
Thank you.
death, it is over. So in your name, I claim this fight is won.
The cross stands before me.
The cross stands before me. It's finished, it is done. Yeah, I heard you told death it was over. So in your name, I claim this fight is won. So let the breakthrough, miracle, more and more out. I need the breakthrough, miracle, moment right now. Only in you and with you, my victory is found. Bring the breakthrough, miracle, power let it rain down, Jesus.
Let it rain down,
let it rain.
To your family, our church family, will you rain down?
Thank you, Lord. Just reminded, singing those songs of a passage in Kings where Israel surrounded, as we were singing, it may look like we're surrounded, but we're surrounded by you, Lord. A passage in Kings where Israel is surrounded by the Arameans, and Elisha is there, and Elisha prays, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha, and it was the army of the Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to see that you have us surrounded, Lord, whatever else surrounds us, whatever else is going on, Lord. And we are fearful, and we admit that we don't know what's going on. We don't know when the end of this will come, Lord. We thank you that you surround us, Lord, and we pray for that miracle, power, breakthrough, that your power, your might break through with this virus, Lord. We pray for your power and your might to bring about change, that this virus might be defeated, that we might once again be able to meet in person, that we might be able to worship you together, Lord, that we might be able to be free from fear, free from sickness. In Jesus' name, Lord, come. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to our confession, and it's good to do it, Lord, just as we keep short accounts with God and keep focused on his kingdom and his coming. So let's bring to mind all those things that we know that we've said and done, and those things that we know we should have said and done or haven't. And let's focus again on his kingdom, his lordship. Let's say these words together. Almighty God, long-suffering and of great goodness, I confess to you, I confess with my whole heart my neglect and forgetfulness of your commandments, my wrongdoing, thinking and speaking, the hurts I've done to others and the good I've left undone. O God, forgive me, for I have sinned against you, and raise me to newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who in Jesus Christ has given us a kingdom that cannot be destroyed, forgive us our sins. Open our eyes to God's truth. Strengthen us to do God's will and give us the joy of his kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We've got two readings this morning. The first is a short video, and then Fiona is going to bring us our gospel reading.
Jacob's dream, Genesis chapter 28.
Jacob traveled for many miles. His uncle Laban lived far away. One night, he lay on the ground, using a stone for his pillow. Jacob fell fast asleep. Jacob dreamed of a stairway to heaven. Angels walked up and down. God said,
"I am watching over you, Jacob. Someday, all of this land will belong to you and your family."
The next morning, when Jacob woke up, he said,
"The Lord is in this place."
He took his stone pillow and set it up as a reminder of his dream. Jacob praised God. Then he continued on his way.
Today's
life
reading
and
is
immortality to light through the gospel. One of the reasons that Paul is so keen to emphasize this,
it might just wait a minute. There you go. Today's gospel reading is taken from John chapter 1, verses 43 to the end. Jesus calls Philip and Nathanael. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." Then he added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord.
Is this passage about who Jesus is or who Nathanael is? And so consequently, who we are. Maybe a bit of background would help us. Nathanael is from Cana, a rival village to Nazareth, and hence his slightly barbed comments about Nazareth. Nathanael is probably Bartholomew that we read about in the Synoptic Gospels. Bartholomew meaning son of Thomas. Nathanael means God has given or God given. Remember when we were naming our son Nathan and we knew that meant gift from God. And that's a good thing for us to think about, that our identity is God given. Jesus describes Nathanael as an Israelite with no deceit. Interesting phrase he uses there. And there's probably a reference to Jacob in that. The reason, there's a couple of reasons I say that. The first is that there is a reference later on to the ladder of Jacob with the angels ascending and descending. But also Jacob early on in his life is described as deceitful. In Genesis 27, we read that Isaac describes Jacob as having deceit when he steals the birthright of his brother Esau. He tricks him for self-advantage. And it's possible that the Israelites actually gained that reputation as being deceitful as a result of that. But unlike Jacob at the beginning of his life, Jesus acknowledges that Nathanael is a true Israelite without deceit. And amazingly, Nathanael then immediately acknowledges that Jesus is his king, the king of Israel. In other words, he submits to him. And it comes after Jesus says that he saw Nathanael under the fig tree. I guess he was probably praying or reading scripture. And his immediate response is, "You must be God. How else could you have known?" Jesus effectively is telling Nathanael that God has seen and heard his prayers and seen his obedience to God, and blesses him and says he will see great things. He will see heaven come down. And it's an encouragement to us that God sees us and hears our prayers and promises us an open heaven, the resources of heaven on earth, depicted in Genesis by that ladder that Jacob sees in his dream. Angels ascending and descending, as if there was a clear link between heaven and earth. And there's a suggestion that Jesus is that ladder, because later on we hear that phrase, the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Jesus bridges the gap between heaven and earth and is the means by which heaven comes to earth. And Jacob's ladder story ends in Jacob being blessed with the words, "In your seed, the peoples will be blessed." If we believe and have the same faith like Nathanael, we will see great things. We will see an open heaven. We will see that blessing. Heaven, as a result of Jesus coming, is now open for continuous communication between heaven and earth. We can know God and experience his kingdom because of Jesus and through Jesus. And this passage, and particularly Nathanael's story, I also think is about identity. And I want to look briefly at two different ways that identity is used in this passage. Firstly, I wonder what you think about the phrase, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" I wonder, do we use similar language to maybe undermine the identity of others? Do we place worth in where people come from or what they're able to do? Can anything good come from Nazareth? It's a bit like saying, "Can anything good come out of Crawley?" Sorry, Hazel, that's probably a bit too personal, but there's that sort of similarity between the sort of rival villages, towns. Physically, we get much of our identity from our parents, from our genetic makeup. And we make comments like, "Oh, she has her mother's eyes," don't we? And then as we grow up, people influence us. We begin to see our identity maybe being molded and formed in our relationships with family, with teachers, with friends, colleagues. But we can be let down by others, can even be abused by them. And this itself can affect our identity, how we feel about our identity. Ultimately, as we know, we cannot and should not get our identity from others. We will be let down in the end, and it's too much responsibility to expect others to meet that criteria anyway. And therefore, we need to get our identity from somewhere else, from God. God is the only constant, the only reliable one, the only faithful one. God never lets us down. So will you choose to believe what the world says you are, or what God says you are? Secondly, we can think that who we are depends on what we do, our job, education, successes, failures, achievements, even our role in the church. Think about how you introduce yourself to someone new. If we could, in this climate, how do you describe yourself? Often it's by what we do for a living. I love watching Pointless. I'm sure you know there's endless episodes on Dave and various other channels. But if you notice that at the beginning, whenever people are introduced, it's always, what do you do? What do you do? And that seems to be wrapped up in identity in our culture. But notice the contrast with Jesus's affirmation with Nathanael. How does Jesus affirm the true identity of Nathanael? He says, here is truly an Israelite, or a true Israelite, in whom there is no deceit. How can Jesus make that statement about Nathanael before he's even got to know him, before he's seen him do anything? Well, it's because his identity is not about doing, it's about being. It's about what God says about us, that is our true identity. Nathanael thought that that our identity was partly about where we come from, hence his comment, how can anything good come from Nazareth? I wonder if he also thought, and our society definitely tends to think, that identity comes from what you do. How do you know me, Nathanael asks? You haven't seen me do anything apart from just sitting under a tree. And notice how passive that picture is. There's no action involved in a sense, but Jesus sees our identity as different. Paul in Acts 17 says, for in him we live and move and have our being. It's our identity in him. And then if we look back at Genesis, right at the beginning of creation, Genesis 1, then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the cattle, the wild animals of the earth, and every other creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God created you in his image. You are created in God's image. However flawed we feel, we are carrying the identity of God. And we are also unique. God sees us each as individuals. Think about your fingerprints or your DNA. We were made to be different. I think part of that is what blew Nathanael's mind. Jesus says, I saw you. In other words, I noticed you. amongst all those other people, each one of us is unique to God, and he sees us as individuals. Whatever you think about your characteristics and differences to others, God made you unique, and God loves us unconditionally. Who you are is a child of God, loved by God. That's what defines you, not what you do. That's how the world may define you, but not God. Our doing comes out of who we are, not the other way around. And we act and behave out of our identity. And amazingly, just as he says to Nathaniel, God says to us that he sees no deceit in us. I want you to receive that. There is no deceit in you. How is that possible? How can he see us without deceit? In other words, without sin, or because of Jesus, because of the cross, because of Jesus' death and resurrection, our sin and deceit is paid for. And we are clothed in righteousness. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, he, as God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Or in Isaiah 61, we read, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. So as Christians, we believe in a given identity, not an achieved identity, God-given. Remember, Nathaniel meant God-given. And an achieved identity is fragile. We have to work hard to retain it. We have a tendency, because of that, towards narcissism or self-obsession. Our identity is not earned, it is given, and our identity is a gift from God. We are children of God. So today let's celebrate what God has made us to be and give thanks for all that he sees in us and has placed in us, and also do the same with one another. Let's see one another as God-given, as gifts from God. And let's look for opportunities for heaven to come to earth, that open heaven over our own lives. Let's dwell on that picture of an open heaven over our life, over your life, and the life of each other. And that God desires to bless you just like he blessed Jacob. Amen. So I think we'll spend some time in worship again now, if that's okay, Lou. And yeah, just focus on that word that God loves us, God is for us, that you are created in the image of God, and you are created as a child of God, that our identity is secure in him. It's not about what we do to try and impress him.
As we respond to that talk, this song can be an invitation, a reminder as we cry out to the Lord to clothe us and cover us at all times in all that we do, that our identity is in him, that we're children of God.
God in my living, there in my breath.
We welcome you, Lord. We receive you and we rejoice. We rejoice that we can call you our Saviour, our everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let us pray. As we focus our thoughts, I'm going to read a few words from Psalm 139. It's one of the Psalms set for today. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive me from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. As we bring our thoughts and prayers to you this morning, Lord, we know that you already know what is on our hearts, but delight in us spending time with you. Lord, hear our prayer and draw us all closer to you. We pray for the people of the world waiting to hear good news. Loving God, there are so many places we could bring before you today, but in a moment of silence, we bring before you any particular place which is on our hearts. We pray, Lord, for countries around the world that are currently going through the process of elections. We've asked to particularly pray for Uganda, the home of the Mande family. And we also pray for America as they prepare to inaugurate their president-elect this week. We pray for wisdom and protection for all those who've been involved in the election process. We pray for your peace to prevail in those countries, Lord, and strength for those entrusted with maintaining law and order in these times of tension. May your will be done, Lord. Lord, hear our prayer and draw us all closer to you. We pray for those around the world at the mercy of extreme weather conditions. At the moment, we pray for people of Japan, Indonesia, especially those rescue workers who died trying to save others, for those bereaved in the plane crash, for those in our own country who've been affected recently by flooding, and maybe many others which we know about around the world. We pray for those tackling the climate change challenges of our time and pray that you will guide each of us in our response to these issues. Lord, hear our prayer and draw us all closer to you. We pray for all who are pushed to the limits at work and at home. Thinking just of a few examples, for all those hospital staff that are working so tirelessly at the moment, especially those in intensive care units, for all in the emergency services, for GPs and practice nurses, for teachers and all the supporting school staff, for parents and students with the challenges of homeschooling, for all those whose mental health is at breaking point, for those awaiting cancelled appointments, and those who are continuing medical treatment even through this pandemic. We pray for our government and we pray that you will grant them your wisdom in the decisions they are making, both large and small. Help us all as we adapt to the current lockdown restrictions and help us to know how best to respond to the needs of our neighbours and local communities. Lord, hear our prayer and draw us all closer to you. We pray for those who are facing financial and economic challenges, those whose businesses are closed or which are operating in a very different way at the moment, for shops that can't open, for people who have rent out their rooms but have no guests, for those who had limited resources and whose money is running out, and those who just don't know where to turn next. But we do thank you, Lord, for many organisations who are helping in these areas. And particularly we pray for those in this local area, for the Salvation Army, who run maybe not the drop-in at the moment, but are certainly reaching the community through their project, for Turning Tides, for Horsham Matters and the work of the Food Bank, and for anyone else who is meeting the needs of these people in their time of need. May all those in need find hope in you. Lord, hear our prayer and draw us all closer to you. We pray for our church, Lord. We thank you that you entrust us with the good news of Jesus and have charged us with serving those in need. We pray for our community here in Broadbridge Heath and for those living in our own neighbourhoods, wherever they may be. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunities we have to share your good news with others. And we pray that people will respond to your prompting in joining our Next Alpha course and other things along the way. Lord, hear our prayer and draw us all closer to you. And finally, dear God, help us to help others, to come to you, to see you, and to hear you. Amen.
So let's join together in the collect for today, a prayer for second Sunday of Epiphany. Eternal Lord, our beginning and our end, bring us with the whole creation to your glory, hidden through past ages and made known in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And just before the final blessing, just want to encourage us to think of those words from Proverbs that we had at the beginning, just the importance of kindness and loyalty. And as we go to breakout rooms in a little while, just encourage you to be kind and loyal to one another, share one another's experiences, take it as an opportunity to pray for one another, to minister God's grace to one another, and keep that up during the week. And I'm sure you will. But bless you, bless your week, and let's just receive this blessing before Lou leads us in a final song. You are called and loved by God the Father, and kept safe by Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace and love be yours in abundance from God the Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.
Hi guys, we're going to sing the blessing now. And we thought it would be really lovely if you want to put yourselves onto gallery view so you can sing this over everyone else. And if you don't know the words, just sing your own blessing or Lars or whatever you want to, just to bless everyone here.
His face shine upon you and be gracious to you.
that blessing. You might like to open your hands physically.
Thanks so much, Lou. Bless you guys. Bless your family. And let's continue with that opportunity to bless one another as we go to breakout rooms and just minister to one another, because we are the body of Christ. It's a wonderful thing to be. Feel free to unmute yourselves before we do that, and